Hi, I'm Jamie Wincup from Red Bull Racing Australia.
I'm Dave Reynolds from the Bardo Racing Team.
Hi, I'm James Moffat from the Norton Hornets.
Hi, I'm Chaz Mostard from Ford Pepsi Max Crew, and you're listening to Inside Supercars.
It is. Look, it's great. It's a fun track.
I was conceived on the Bolt, so been here before.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's the number one target on our radar. We're all about winning races and trying to win a championship at the moment, but we, you know, Kim and I chip away at it, but right now we have nothing.
Sometimes they're not dickhead, you could say. There's good racing and I enjoy it. Yeah.
From the racetracks across Australia and around the world, here's Inside Supercars.
Hello and welcome to join me discussing the topics of the week and more from Speed Cafe. It's Stefan Bartholomaeus. Good evening, Stefan.
G'day, Craig. How are you?
From Inside Motorsport, it is Peter Norton. Peter, good evening.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Interesting week we have leading up to the Sydney Motorsport Park 400. Scott McLaughlin has talked about how he's using PlayStation and the AFL to take his mind off his racing. Holden has signed a new multi-year deal backing the Holden Racing Team in News Limited. And News Limited again, Peter, has got an interesting story about James Courtney wanting get back on top.
Yes, our Sunday papers were graced with smiling James Courtney talking about how he wants to get his name up in lights again, and thankfully his form on the track is backing that up, and you know, we'll see him standing on the roof of cars in the future a whole lot more, I think.
Lee Holdsworth, on top of a Speed Cafe story a few weeks ago about Holdsworth's contract coming up for renewal, Fiat Supercars have talked about how they're going to take a new approach into this weekend's event.
Yeah, at Queensland Raceway, I think they were very disappointed with their form. At Queensland Raceway, they took a rather aggressive approach and took some very new setups on the car based on some of their recent testing, and that didn't work for them at all. They were chasing their tails. So they want to stay much closer to a tried and true setup. But if you're looking for a quantum leap in your performance, sometimes you've got to take a gamble.
It's going to be interesting to see, because I think up until Queensland, most of us had Erebus ahead of Nissan, but they certainly did set their opinions of their race at Queensland low and then delivered on some much better form. But Stefan, over at Speed Cafe, you've got a couple of interesting stories, one of which is Tony D'Alberto looking for a 2015 return.
Yeah, well, that's hopefully they can get that done. It was quite well reported that they were trying very hard to stay in the game for 2014 with a possible link up with Tecno. They couldn't make it happen, but they've had a bit more time to work on it come around. I understand there wasn't quite as much interest in the whole wreck tender process as Vetsupercars may have hoped. So ideally, like, there's always hoops to jump through, and there's a few technicalities and sticking points on that whole deal, but I'm pretty sure that V8 Supercars would be keen to see them back in it. They've got to work on both that side of it and the commercial side, but Audi Alberto seemed pretty optimistic that they'll get something done, so it would be good to see Tony back on the grid, and ideally with a team like Tecno, who have got good gear and a fast driver in Shane Van Gisbergen, for Tony to really gauge himself on, because he's sort of always been a single car team battling away as a satellite of a bigger team. So to see him there entrenched in the team would be quite good for him, I think.
And also Craig Lowndes has given his new car a bit of a shakedown last week.
Yeah, Craig last week at Norwell, and Garth Hander will shake his new HRT Commodore down tomorrow at Winston. I was talking to Adrian Burgess about that a couple of minutes ago, and he was pretty happy that they'd got that all finished without too much of a rush. No ridiculous late night for the boys, according to Adrian. So fresh car for GT for Sydney Motors Park, and then a fresh one for Craig for Sandown.
I'm sure we'll be discussing those topics. First to our program guest, and it's Simon McNamara.
Join in the conversation. Post your thoughts on our Sport Radio Facebook page. Tune in each weekday morning for a fast-paced look at V8 Supercars with Supercars Today. It's a short, sharp look at what's happening across the V8 Supercars world.
To be honest, I thought the Townsville race on Sunday was a bit too long. I thought it took a bit too long to draw to its conclusion for people to understand how the race was going to go.
Supercars Today, each weekday morning at sportradio.com.au, or sign up for the podcast on iTunes.
Hi, I'm Fabian Coulthard from Lockwood Racing, and you're listening to Inside Supercars.
Each week, join the Inside Motorsport team as they look at all the news from across Australia and around the world.
This year in Formula 3, I think, is a fantastic environment for me to be doing that. However, I believe for myself, a sustainable career in tin tops such as V8 Supercars in Australia is where I see myself.
Second crack at the Australian title since we've been back, and a bit unlucky the first time that we end up with a win there at Speedway City 2 weeks ago.
Inside Motorsport broadcast on community radio and online at sportradio.com.au.
Hi, I'm Dale Wood from Team AdVam GB Gal, and you're listening to Inside Supercars.
Simon McNamara joins us once again on the show. And Simon, can the television deal have much of an influence on a manufacturer's involvement in V8 Supercars?
Yes, and I mean, we've got no real say in all of that, but we in what happens with it, but we have been quite open and transparent with James Warburton and John Casey about what we would like to see as it goes forward, and to the credit of those guys, have been very understanding and certainly asking a lot of questions about what we would or wouldn't want to see. So it's been a very good relationship in terms of all of that sort of stuff.
Is it safe to say that probably the last 18 months has been the most open and transparent dealings you've had with V8 Supercars since James, John Casey and that new team has come together?
Without doubt.
How much of a advantage is it when you're having to go back to your bosses in Holden to have these sort of communications now?
It's a massive advantage because it gives us the ability to ask the question and get a pretty correct answer as opposed to the opposite. So, you know, I can call John Casey at any time and get an answer within 2 seconds about something. And James Warburton and I usually catch up at East Rate, meaning that I'm at, and have a good chat about just the generic state of the play. So they're always asking questions. James is a clever man and understands the world of sport and not just motorsport. So it's good to have someone from that side of the fence involved and working so closely with them. So the relationship has been fantastic.
In this economic climate, how many teams can a manufacturer afford to support? There must be finite numbers.
Yeah, there is. I mean, the days of being able to do 5 or 6 teams are well and truly gone. We need to work up the most cost-effective way to do it, given that we are now involved in other sporting properties and looking at different ways to market our cars. So it is a challenging time, but you also need to be with cars that are going to be at the front of the pack.
You talk about being involved with teams like Collingwood, the NRL. We've seen often that pressures from other codes has been able to really tip the hand of manufacturer support previously. How difficult is it for you to be in there fighting not only amongst having teams and everyone asking for money, but also to have other sporting codes with good pedigrees, they're also looking to get that same dollar that you're competing for?
Yeah, well, it's always a challenge, but a good challenge. I mean, we've got a very good relationship with Collingwood and a very good relationship with the NRL. The State of Origin, from a Holden point of view, has been fantastic the last 2 years. The data from TV numbers and the rest of it have been growth significantly year on year, so some massive numbers from this year. And our share of voice in the automotive space in the AFL via Collingwood is actually very strong for what we do. So both properties are outstanding for us and gives us an opportunity to speak to different areas of the market other than just the passionate Holden motorsport fan. So, within all of these properties that we have, we're able to sort of target nearly everybody that we need to talk to.
Is that one of the problems with motorsport, that the fans are so tribal, it's seen that you're either preaching to the converted or the people who'll never convert?
Yeah, I'm not sure it's an issue. I mean, we certainly love the fact that the supporters are so passionate for whichever mark they choose to follow. Fortunately, most of them like to follow ours. So we engage in that and we work on that. I mean, if you look at our social media numbers off the back of it, I think we're number one in Facebook engagement in the automotive space. Holden Motorsport point of view as opposed to the actual car brand itself. So it shows that you put some stuff on there for our fans that are very engaging of our brand and they want to follow and they want to make a comment. So.
Recently, the team managers met with V8 Supercars to discuss a number of items to try and improve the fan experience. If John Casey, James Warburton come to you and say, Simon, what can we do to make V8 Supercars better value for money for Holden? What's number one ticket item for you?
Well, we've had those discussions, not specifically for Holden, more in terms of we talked as an open forum from people from different areas and just discussing what we think could be better for the program to go forward. So I'm not, we don't go there necessarily with our Holden hat on. I mean, I'll go there with my Holden hat on in terms of the technical changes and what's going on with different things, but from in terms of the bigger picture of where the sport needs to be, we'll often discuss from a broader spectrum sense so that we can at least make sure that the show is improving.
So what would be the number one thing that you think could improve the show?
Well, I think there's a number of areas that we need to look at, and we're certainly doing that. I won't go into specifics right now, to be honest, because there's a lot of discussion going on, but, you know, certainly something that needs to be improved is the TV package and how it's represented.
What about for the experience for the punter that pays his money at the gate?
Yeah, well, there's a number of things that need to be improved there, which is not just V8, it's got to come down to the promoters themselves. So there's some costs out there that they need to do in terms of facilities in some venues, but we certainly need to do a lot of things to engage the fan on a broader thing than just car racing. There was the whole push about concerts in the past, but I think there's other things that we need to do given that the generational change and people's attitudes towards things are different now.
My thanks to Simon McNamara. We'll be back with the panel to discuss some of his comments and more in just a few moments.
The views expressed on Inside Supercars, including the panellists and guests, do not reflect the views of the network, Thunder Media or Sport Radio. Any publication or rebroadcast of the show without the expressed written permission of Thunder Media is strictly prohibited. Each week, join the Inside Motorsport team as they look at all the news from across Australia and around the world.
And, you know,